Okay. We're holding in the pasuk Yedatul Maneshe Taves Banov. The word Yedativ is kind of defies a bit translation. The pasuk Yedches Yetes says, it's page 138 in the Yisrael Torah. The pasuk says Ki Yedativ L'Maneshe Taves Banov. Says, I know him. It doesn't mean I know that he will. Ki Yedativ is usually used when somebody's your acquaintance. Modo I means my friend, acquaintance, because he's somebody that I know well, and someone who's known to me. Kiedative means I sort of befriended him, but it's not clear exactly how to define it. So remember, Chayit speaks about it. The word yedative, loshen gedula umala. Yedative means to recognize someone, not in the sense of, oh, I recognize you, Yankee Beryl, but we would like to recognize so-and-so, you know, for his accomplishments. Miloshim ma'odam v'teida'ehu. What's man that you've recognized him? Ve'oi yiloshim hashkocha. Or yedatev can also mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hashkocha on him. Ki yedias Hashem yisbarach sa'odam yeshkochasavai. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a place, a pasuk, v'yeda lohim, by Mitzrayim. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his nakosam, son by Yeda Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now knew, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu implemented some sort of reaction. Ukshama ki yedativ, bo lemayit shav ne'odam, she'enam tzadikim, she'en hashkochim, or tzadikim. So every person has a hashkocha, but the level of hashkocha to someone who's a tzadik is extraordinary. V'tzorech she'taskol, Rav Menachai says, ki hashkocha bo l'mashov min odom miklolus u'pratis. On humanity you have both a klolistic and pratistic hashkocha. U'pasik molehu, she'matzino godol ha'etze v'rav ha'lilge, ashenechob kuchos ha'kol dakev ne'odom losis le'ish kidrochav. U'b'sha'ba l'chaim, hi klolus lo'i pratis, rak l'chaim is amin. So you have two types of hashkochas. We have hashkocha that is there in full force, and that is true by Adam, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically reacts to the specifics, and there's Ashkocha on the Min as a whole. We've seen this in quite a few places. There's actually a sefer that someone is putting out named Rabbi Leibowitz from Eretz Yisrael. I think he's a Rabbi Shalabim, if I'm not mistaken. I was privy to look at the manuscript before he published it. And he goes through, it deals specifically with Ashkocha, Pratz, and Klolus. It deals specifically with two issues that the machlokes on. It does go through different shitas in yanim. It's a big inyan. Some people agreed with it, and he tries to sort of show how different shitas can hold the same thing. But at any rate, Rabbi Bechaya here says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashkocha is klolis on all people and not protis. Hashkocha protis is minod nachashay halakim. In terms of Hashkocha Pratis on Mina Adam, we have two Halakim. Hashkocha by Leda called Prote Maisa Mashavaisov. So the word Hashkocha has two meanings. And I think, I honestly think that many of the misunderstandings and misconceptions about Hashkocha are the result of mixing up those two words. One is Hashkocha meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing, being aware. And one is Hashkocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervening and doing things that show that he's aware. So he says, in Hashkocha Pratis Adam, you have two parts. You have the knowledge of the Pratim, Hashkocha by Lahagna Lavatzil Min Amikim. Hashkocha by Leda Kol Pratim Aysa. The Hashkocha to know all the Pratim Aysa. He Bechol Adam Yisrael Min HaUmais. Ke'inyan Shekosav HaYoytze Yachad Liba Meimol Kamaseyam. Hashkocha by Latzil Min Amikrim. But the Hashkocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him from things that happen, aims him b'chol adam. V'afilu b'Yisrael ki mitzadikim shebehem. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu matzos hatzadikim la'mikim shebehem shom yodam. There's a norm in the world, and there's a norm mahalach, and normal people suffer that, and for tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in ways that are extraordinary. V'lo yazav chasidah v'lo yigra mehem einoi.
So
Now, I want to add a few points to this. This is one of the main shittas that the Rambam in the Rambam, there's the Ramban, there's a Chinuch. They all seem to say the same idea. I want to go back to something in what he's saying. He says in Mina Adam Hashkafa Pratis means Kadosh Baruch Hu knows all the details of the Ma'aseh Machshavos. It is part of our belief. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Koil HaKoil V'Koilom Yochad and Kol Yochol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows where different ants are at different times. There is nothing that is in any way withheld from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a given for us. But what we mean to say is there any significance to it? Let's take an example. You have a huge corporation that's run by a very, very bright group of people. Now, let's say their trucks, let's say they start, let's take two events. Let's focus on two events of this company. One is they've begun to sell things to Walmart with a great discount. The second thing is that their trucks deliver stuff to Walmart on Tuesday afternoons. Now, obviously both of these are there for a reason. The first one, giving a steep discount, let's assume that there's a strategic point in it. They want to corner the market, push everybody else out, take the loss in it, but then there's no cheap supplier, and then they can jack up the price and so on and so forth. Delivering the stuff on Tuesday afternoon to Walmart is simply because since most Walmart stores are located in places like X, Y, or Z, it is most convenient for the trucks to park there. That's not a strategic, it's a logistic, operational type of decision. It's a decision, and it has a reason for it, but it's of a different nature than the reason why they're doing business with Walmart at such a steep discount. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha on Balei Chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's automatic knowledge of where the ant is, has no significance or ramifications in anything. The ant is there as part of the ecological system that makes the earth viable for human beings. So ants, I don't know, they dig a lot of earth. They help aerate the soil. They provide their food for some other animal that does something else, and so on and so forth. That's all operational. It's not strategic in that sense. It's just simply, so of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, but that's meaningless to us. And that knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of his, you know, being Kol Yochol, and it doesn't really make any difference. The knowledge of Adam is because Adam is accountable for his ma'asim. And a person doesn't do anything without it being registered as significant. Why did you take extra time to get to this place when this is the place you're supposed to be there? Why this? Why that? And so on. So that's one point, that when he speaks about that Adam, Ashkochel, by Leda, Kalpati, Maisel, Shoysov, it doesn't mean simply the registration that, yes, I got a Shkochel, where was Yankel on Tuesday morning? He tells you, but where was Daisy the cow? He gives you a blank look and doesn't know where it was. That's silly. That's not part of our understanding of where he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is important is where Daisy the cow was on Monday morning has no significance, period. So that means it doesn't register anywhere. It's not of the significance of the talks of the world. What Adam was doing on Wednesday morning is significant, one. A second point, he says it as if it's tzaddikim and not tzaddikim as far as Ashkochim goes. I would like to stretch a little further, and the Rambam or Nevuchim says it clearly, and I think that's what he means. It's not an either-or proposition. Yes, tzaddik, full Ashkocha, no tzaddik, no. There's a curve of how much is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, how much is HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved with a person's life? How much will he circumvent nature to take care of the person? The Rambam says that it depends on the general level of the person and how dovuk he was in a particular time to this area of. In general, I think it's also a good guide for a person's sense of Ashkacha Pratis. We have extraordinary events that happen to us. We have different events. A person, I guess, there's no other way than just a healthy intuition. A person needs to take stock of himself. You know, am I so chashuv that not finding the sweater this morning was an earth-shaking event? And how extraordinary was this event? A person needs to live with a sense of balance between the two. I saw a very cute story. Somebody heard a story. There's a story about the Chazanish, that the Chazanish had a cat that followed him around for 2 weeks, and people wanted to chase it away, and the Chazanish said, don't chase it away. There's a reason why the cat's following me. Didn't say more than that. And then the cat disappeared, and that's that. And, you know, I guess the assumption was some sort of gilgul, needs a tikkun, and so on and so forth. Somebody of Nebrak knew the story, read the story. A while later, a cat began following him. Or at least he thought it followed him, I don't know. And so he went to Chaim Kanievsky, and he said, in light of the story, what's the meaning of the cat following me? And Chaim Kanievsky, in his classic, laconic answer, said, if you're a Chazanish, it's very meaningful. If not, not. Like, yes, if you're a Madrega Chazanish, then the events like that are very, very significant. And obviously there's great meaning to it. But, by the way, once we're talking about things with meaning and being able to look at things as shkach enough, I want to tell a story that I was there. I was zocha to be a neighbor of Chacham Hillel, of Chacham Yaakov Hillel, for many years. He lived downstairs, we lived on the third floor. He's a very big person. He's a huge Talmud Chacham in Nikola and in Nistar. He's a ish gadol. He's done tremendous things for the Sephardic community. Very, very, very big person. He had a large family, and he was involved in his stuff. And his wife took care of their family. One day, one of their kids, their second boy Shimon, I still remember, was running in Eretz Yisrael. There's these little tenders that take you on buses. He was going with a bus to the cheder, and there's a busy street, Shmonovi Street, between where we live in Azabira to where the bus stop was. He ran across the street, middle street, in order to catch the bus. A car hit him, killed him on the spot. His father was in America at the time, fundraising, and he was called back. It was a very, very tragic. I mean, it must have been an 8-year-old, 9-year-old boy. It was a young boy. And when they were sitting shiva, I was there being Menachem Avel, and someone came and asked him, like, what's the meaning of this? And the person obviously was expecting an answer along the lines of Pikabola, like a special klipa was after him, or the Sutton, or something like that. And he answered, the meaning of this is they have to take care of your kids and make sure that you cross the street with them, and that there's somebody watching them, and very, very, very down to earth. It was very powerful because of, you know, I think the person who asked him meant well, but he was reinforcing the sense that you start with pshat. You only go on to straight once you finish with pshat. So, okay. By the way, I guess once we're this, we'll trade another story. There was, Chassidim see great hashgach and different things, so on and so forth. So again, I don't vouch for the veracity of this story, but it's really a good story. There was an old man, like a 95-year-old man, who made some nasty remarks about the Belzer Rebbe. That winter, he caught a cold. The cold went into pneumonia, and he died. So the Chassidim said, that's what you get for speaking, for sliding the covet of the Belzer Rebbe. So some misnagid was there, and he said, that's crazy. A 95-year-old man catching a cold and a pneumonia in a winter, in a cold winter, and dying, So the person said, listen, if I wouldn't have known the story to Belzer Rebbe, so I wouldn't have a better pshat, and I would say a dochak and say the pshat that you said. But now that I have clear pshat, why would I say a dochak like that about being an old man and 95 and pneumonia and cold and stuff like that? Okay. The next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya also. It says, "L'man asher yitzava esbana vespesei akrav." Because of Rechanan Ozal, the Michal says, "Nasu divrei ha'avos v'kabbala, b'loiksi v'betor, k'maitera haksuva." What the others gave over to us b'kabbalah is, it's something that's not written, is like the Torah that's written. Umikana talamit, ki a Mishnah shistura by Goddess of Lebanim, the Mishnah which is really sort of a Mesoras that's been written down, it wasn't given written, but it's really a frozen Mesoras Valpeh, ki kabbalah shechayov lishma divreim kichi divretar aksuvim shezev zeshavim. It has the same power as that which is written. Sharei, aseret hadibris nishum pi agvura v'nichtum pi anavi, usharatoy nichtum pi anavi. Ukeshem she'ein hefesh b'na mitzah she'im b'shmiyo b'na mitzah she'im b'ksiva, kach en hefesh ha'mitzah she'im b'ksiva b'na mitzah she'im ha'kabolo, shakot shovin ad kan. So Rabbi Nechanaol says in other words, in the very foundation of Klal Yisrael, the need to listen to Mesoras Baal Peh is equivalent to Torah Shebiksav, and the pasuk says L'man asher yitzav esbana vespesei akrav. He's going to be instructing his children and his family to do the right things. So his instructions and his diburim are on that level. It applies in a very specific way to Torah Sheba'al Peh versus Torah Sheb'Ksav. That's one thing that's correct. But I think this also applies in a more broad way, in the following way. There is, in every halacha, and everything, and in the clothes of halacha, there are the things that are written, and then there's the unwritten sense of how things are, what things are, and so on. They are binding. In other words, following Torah means that I follow the letter of the law, and as best as I can, the spirit that was handed down. The problem is obviously that the spirit is much trickier. It's something which is, what exactly is time specific, location specific, what exactly is lavdavka, not easy to pinpoint it, and it's also much harder to enforce it. When you tell people it's a sifim mishnah berurah, so people will grumble, but if it says so, it says so, and that's that. But if you tell people, it's just veering way off of the ruach hadvarim, it's much harder. There's an added difficulty, which I think I need to stress. Rav Henkin Zechon Evracha was from the great Paiskim in America. He was a huge Paisik and a very big tzaddik and so on. His first rabbinic position was in the Kafkaz Mountains. That's in Russia. I don't know, it's like 1,300 kilometers east of Moscow. It's a Sephardi. Bukharims are not from there, but there's something similar. And they're Sephardi-type communities, isolated from the rest of the world, very traditional, very positive about wanting to be religious, very, very big amaratzim, and very, very fanatic about keeping their minhagim. And he writes that in some minhagim that they had were beautiful minhagim, in other words, with the Ruach HaTorah and precious, but a lot of them were rank amaratzis that he needed to uproot, and he met tremendous difficulty. Two of those were as follows. One of them was when a chassan kala got engaged, the chassan would give her a great gift in front of a crowd of people and say, "From now on, you're my wife." And he would call a wife, but if they dissolved it, if they never got married, they wouldn't bother to give a get. Now, this is very, very dangerous in halachically. Giving her money in front of people and saying, "You're my wife," is dangerously close to what Kedushin is. Yes, I'm sure we can, at the end, we can find a way back to it, but he tried very hard to cancel that minhag, and they refused to do it. It's a minhag kadosh. He also found that, you know, they were very, very superstitious and, you know, had a lot of all sorts of superstitious minhagim, but he found once during a plague, they go to the forest and sacrifice birds to a tree stump. And, you know, and as much as he tried to dissuade them and tell them, you know, you're running into Pasul Avodah Zarah, he couldn't possibly dissuade them. It was very, very, very difficult. So there's a problem. Things that are written and specific, it's easy to check. Minhagim are things, you know, that they're the ruach of it, and sometimes they're possibly as important or more important than the letter law, but it's the propensity for straying with it and ending up with minhag ishtus is much greater. Okay, let's see one more piece. It says over here, "Vayem Hashem zaka stom amor kirabach hadasich av demait." Why were these affairs so terrible? Hachatas azay taiseh shahayevim kol amidas haraz. Moshadosh razal. They were mushchosim. Roim amoinim shem rov einecha b'chicha evyon v'chatoim b'gufon. K'do amez v'chatoz elikim. L'Hashem d'vers Hashem me'oid v'shvirstom m'shenema v'gam dam naki shavach m'nasha habim me'oid. Avol nigma dinam ba'ovoin shohoyim mo'atzen esat stoka. The reason why the din was nigma is because they despised stoka. Lo'yim mashkichim al aniyem v'ra'ehem shemitol m'rov. And they disregarded the poor people and their community members that were dying of hunger. V'zeo bira koso dechapshat v'ashis lem roi mechten Hashem ma'oit shechatoi magiyem Hashem hinen shekoso binyaniyem v'kor alech al Hashem v'yom chochet. V'anovi heyed kein v'omre hine zeho y'avoyin stoim achoyscho ga'oin sveyas lechem v'shal v'shashket hoylo u'bnei seho v'yad oni v'evim lechzika. Yechezkel says, this is the sin of Stoim. It was fat, content, quiet, you know, tranquil, and they wouldn't help a poor man. Uksiv v'tikvana v'tasena ta'ivo l'fanai v'aseh esen k'sheisi. Now, why is it that they were punished so severely? L'fisher t'dirin b'chet hazeh. This was a constant part of their lives. L'kach nigmar z'adinam aleyam. Sh'rei ein l'cho u'ma b'ilom sh'esut stoka ilu melu. Charity is something that's innate to every nation. Anshistoim rebelled against that. They were achzorim. The af al pish le nitna tera dayin. There was no mitzvah. Hine hat stokim rai mitzvah sa muskolis. Stoker is a self-evident mitzvah. V'dova mituavu shir odom esmina mutl v'ra. It's something disgusting that a person see a fellow human being hungry. V'hu oshi v'saveh mikol toiv. And he's fat and full of everything. And he has no rachmanis on him. Alachas kam v'kam al mishu mo'amosay. Certainly someone who's of his own nation. V'darim v'yachas. V'akein avos shem t'vach shalem shem moinay sokam v'chim. First of all, we see that there's a concept of a universal ethics. Things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not, if I can give a mashal, contemporary mashal, a person's basic brain and approach to life is the hard wiring. Torah is software. Some mitzvahs, many, many mitzvahs, are only there in the software. It sits us in tefillin and all sorts of inyanei kedusha and or chukim and so on. That's the software. But the hardware of a person should be rachmanis on someone who's suffering, who's hungry. And if the software program is a problematic, you can fix it. If the hardware is problematic, you have to recycle it. Nothing to do with it. The software is you can fix. You don't have to destroy the computer if the problem is in the software. You can reformat it. If it's in the hardware, there's nothing to do about it. A person who is be'etzem cruel and apathetic to suffering is a broken machine. It's not human, and therefore there's no hope for him. But it's interesting. The first thing is there are things that you can demand common decency. When we say that, does the Torah say it or not? If the Torah contravenes it, then it's wrong. But things that are self-evident, they don't need to find the Sefer Shofar of Petor. That's what the Rebbe Chaya says. One. The second point I'd like to discuss, and even though I don't like to get into politics, but I'll upon him, you know, we have two parties in America, Republicans, Democrats, which argue about the concept of welfare and so on. Now, I'm not, I don't want to go into any policy. I don't think neither are tzaddikim and so on. There are two ways in which to present these arguments. One is the government is not the best agent to help poor people. The government squanders tons of money, wrong place, wrong time, ineffectively, inefficiently, and so on and so forth. That's an argument that we can buy with, from a Torah point of view. It's either right or wrong, but the argument at least is valid from a Torah point of view. There's another argument that it's not the government's business to help sick or poor people. If somebody feels like helping them, it's their choice. Somebody feels like going to the opera, goes to the opera. Somebody feels like giving charity, gives charity. That, I think, goes against the grain of what we're talking about. Stoma as a society, in other words, the American people are a society. At the level of being a society, how do we express our care and concern for the millions of people that can't get medical attention? That have a heart attack, no place to go to, that are going to sleep hungry, that the kids are growing up on the streets. I don't, which the solutions work and who should implement the solutions, that I recognize that's my move. But the question of whether or not we're obligated to find a solution. If the American society has a semblance of Chaviv Adoshev Tal Makim, that needs to be part of its mentality. How do we take care of the weakest part of society? What do we do with it? If the argument is that the government, well, there's no other expression of the people. If the government, meaning the society of Americans, does not care, it itself is, stomach is full. Even people who are kind of at the low end of the middle class, their stomach is full, they have a roof over their head. Why shouldn't they worry about someone else who has nothing? I think that's Torah of the perspective on it. Society needs to care about its hungry, it's sick, it's weak. Much thought should be given on how to do it effectively. Of course, the own money may not be resting, but using money and time and effort and feeling responsibility are definitely very in sync with what it says here. Okay.